The Monty Show, Friday, July 27th, 2018. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
It's Friday. Aren't you excited?
I am. It's a good day.
You should be excited. We have a lot to get to, as always. A lot of baseball trades going down. Some are good, some are bad, and I'm a disgruntled Cub fan. You know, the Dodgers are said to be trying to get Bryce Harper. You know, just cut my foot off. I'd be in a better mood if you cut my foot off instead of the Dodgers getting Bryce Harper.
I get it.
Just cut my foot off.
I get it.
It's probably too much. D-backs make a move. We'll tell you all about that. We got to talk about this John Gruden situation. John Gruden versus Khalil Mack. By the way, Hard Knocks is back next Tuesday. I'm excited.
Yeah, I like Hard Knocks.
Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's an enjoyable show for sure.
Yep. Mission Impossible is in the theaters. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And you should find us in the iHeartRadio app. It's that simple. And I can't wait to rip your boy DeMar DeRozan.
Do it. Do it. I mean, look, as somebody who can't be happy for the Cubs on any level,
okay,
in any neck of the woods, on any platform.
This is like Trump supporters saying it's Obama's fault. DeRozan sucks. Well, if you would be a non-disgruntled Cub fan, maybe we would have better relations with Russia. Do you feel better?
I don't know. Do you?
Not really. Here, I'll turn that music down now.
Thanks.
Come on, that was a Donald Trump bomb, a Russia bomb, you know, fake news, you know, witch hunt collusion. I mean, it's all wrapped into DeMar DeRozan.
Right, right.
You have a problem with that? I don't understand it, I guess, which is, you know, fine. So, should the Washington Nationals trade Bryce Harper?
I mean, I think at this point, yeah. I mean, they're in the Manny Machado situation. They're at a point where Bryce Harper is not, his trade stock is never going to be lower, in my opinion. So if you're a buyer, this is awesome. But if you're the Nats, I mean, it's time. Like, your window's closed.
Why is it? Burn it down.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. Because you get to a tipping point where you're either going to win or you're not, and they're not winning. You know, they're not really in a position at all to do anything this year.
Okay, so you're talking about trading Bryce Harper.
About trading Bryce Harper. I'm talking about Scherzer. I'm talking about the guys who
can
bring
you
value.
Wow, so you would trade Scherzer?
Yeah, I would get a ton of pitching. I would get new pitching prospects.
Wow. So you'd rebuild it all together?
Yeah, because I think you need to.
I just don't know that Rizzo, the general manager of the Nats, I don't know that Rizzo would do that. I don't know that the ownership, the players, that's, in my opinion, I just think that that's an odd mix of guys. I don't think they're bad guys. I just think it's an odd mix of dudes. And there's not an enthusiastic rah-rah cheerleader in that clubhouse. And I think every clubhouse needs that. Bryce Harper is a quiet superstar. Soto is probably their best player right now, but he's a rookie, and there's a language barrier there. Ryan Zimmerman is not a rah-rah guy, and he's been hurt. I mean, Rendon's not an outspoken guy. Matt Wieters is not an outspoken guy. Max Scherzer's a humanoid robot with one eye,
right.
So he's not really going to be leading a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's an odd mix of guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've had their opportunity to win, and it's just not happening for them. It's just not working. You know, so I don't see why you would keep Bryce. Like, trade him.
Because you're going to lose him in the offseason anyway. I mean, I think we all agree with
that. Get
the
value out of him. Like, it's the Manny Machado situation. Don't wait so long. Like, get rid of him.
I think that's easier said than done. I think it's really easy to sit here and say that we should all just, you know, blow this team up, blow that team up. If it were up to you and me, we would have blown up the Rockies in spring training, and now look, they're competing to win the NL West. So I think it's easier said than done. What does it say to the Nationals fan base if they trade him? And by the way, if they trade him to the Dodgers and the Dodgers, I think the Dodgers with Bryce Harper win the World Series. I mean, they'd certainly be a lethal lineup.
Yeah,
you would have so much flexibility. You'd have Bryce Harper playing center field.
But what
field.
Happened to pitching beats good hitting? I think when you get to the World Series, you're going to see great pitching.
Right, but at that point, you're stacked. There's no out in that lineup. I mean, you no longer have to play Kike Hernandez unless you want to. You know, you would think Justin Turner at third, Machado at short. You have any number of guys at second base. You have options. You've got, you know, two, three different guys, Muncy and Bellinger, can play first. The biggest problem is, how am I going to get all these guys to fit into the outfield? You know, like, how am I going to play Bellinger in center field with Jock Peterson? Or, you know, how am I going to play, you know, Jock Peterson over Yasiel Puig, over Bryce Harper, over... I mean, you would have this unbelievable mix of guys with bats. And I think if you had an outfield of Matt Kemp in left, you would have probably Bryce Harper in center and or right. Let's say you leave Bellinger in center, Bryce Harper in right, Turner, Machado, probably Taylor at second base now, Muncy at first, you know, Grandal. And then, yeah, I think your pitching is a question mark, but Kershaw, Wood, and Stripling have been pretty good, and now Rich Hill looks all right. I mean, so you have the pieces now.
Yeah.
Now it's execution, and can the back end of the bullpen hang on, which is their biggest weakness, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It looks great on paper, but again, I'm still going to say the same thing. You can't buy a World Series.
Yes, I agree with you.
I mean, you can't buy a World Series, so go out and buy them. Go out and get them. But that doesn't mean you're going to win the World Series, man. I think it's at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, the camaraderie on the team. Again, I always reference Jason Hayward in the moment against the Indians, like taking everybody back and giving a speech and saying, let's go. It's like, it's that kind of stuff.
You know, I was talking about this on the show yesterday, Joe Maddon being, is Joe Maddon overrated as a manager? It's interesting you bring that up, because this Cubs team is sputtering. You know, they need extra innings, they need a walk-off home run out of Anthony Rizzo, and Bodie yesterday essentially hits a two-runner, and then Rizzo hits a walk-off bomb. But you just have some sort of odd dysfunction on that team this year, and a lot of injuries, and, you know, like tonight, Mike Montgomery is getting hammered by the Cardinals. You know, yesterday, Chatwood walked six. All of this to say, is Joe Maddon overrated, in your opinion?
No. I don't think he's overrated. I think he's earned the right to be where he's at. I think he's done a great job. I mean, you can question how he handled Chapman, but at the end of the day, Chapman got the job done.
Yeah.
And I don't blame I can't blame somebody for leaving Chapman in.
Well, and the way he used Zobrist in that run, and the way he's continued to keep him as
savvy.
A viable option. He is savvy, but I think sometimes the BS of Joe Maddon becomes a bit much for a lot of people. And Rick Morrissey in Chicago, I think in the Sun-Times, blew him up yesterday. I told you about that. And just thinking through it, my frustration, like Ian Happ, he continues to play Ian Happ at third base. He cost them two runs tonight at third base on a play that should have been a double play that wasn't a double play, and that led to two runs that shouldn't have scored, and now you're down three runs. And your pitcher throws it. So why do we continue to force Ian Happ to play third base when Bodie is the guy that should be playing third base every day until Chris Bryant's back?
Yeah.
But Bodie isn't playing. Instead, we have Zobrist playing second and Ian Happ playing third. Why? Why? Is Bodie now then your first guy off the bench? No, that's Tommy La Stella. Bodie needs to play every day, but because it's Joe Maddon, nobody's going to say that, and they're not going to have an issue with it, when really we as Cub fans should.
Yeah.
It's Andy Green in San Diego. Andy Green, if Joe Maddon made the decisions that Andy Green made, nobody would say anything. But because Andy Green hasn't won a World Series and doesn't wear cool T-shirts and doesn't have dress-up road trips, Andy Green's a POS manager. And granted, they're not winning, but they don't have the talent. My point is...
By the way, Joe Madden's done it with bad teams, too. He's done it with those Rays teams.
But see, those Rays teams had incredible talent. They were stacked. We didn't know it at the time how stacked they were, because now guys have spread out and gone to other teams and they've really contributed. But I think Joe Maddon's always had talent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not going to sit here and say he's overrated.
Do the Nationals win the World Series if it's Joe Maddon instead of Dusty Baker?
Yeah.
You think they do?
They do.
Wow. I think Dusty Baker...
The dynamic
Baker...
is completely different in the locker room. Bryce, I think, would be a lot more comfortable. You know,
that's very true. That could be a very good point.
And I think Dusty Baker is a losing manager. There's no question about it.
Wow, I thought he did a great job with that club.
Not good enough. I mean, not to be a hater, but it wasn't good enough.
Well, clearly he was pretty good because now Davey Martinez is here with largely the same group, and they're terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
But is it saying much that you're comparing Dusty Baker to Davey Martinez? Like, is that really a fair comparison? Like,
no, because Davey Martinez is a rookie. But why do I bring up Davey Martinez? He's a Joe Maddon disciple. He's been Joe Maddon's bench coach for, what, a decade in Tampa and with the Cubs? And now he's the manager of the Nationals, and they're garbage.
So his failings as a manager means that Joe Maddon somehow is, like, responsible for that?
No.
Or, like, what does that mean exactly?
No, but I think Joe Maddon is, it works with Joe. Okay? It just hasn't worked in Washington with Davey Martinez.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's working in Chicago with Joe Maddon. Because at some point, his shtick is going to get old. I'm not saying fire Joe Maddon. I'm not saying he's doing a bad job. They lead the National League. It's at the point now where this is a really good baseball team that's not going to go anywhere this year. If Theo and Jed don't go out and make significant moves for the Cubs, they're not going to go anywhere this year. This is my state. This is what I've been saying about the Padres as well. You're not winning. The Cubs are not winning because what they did this trade deadline. The Cubs are winning because what they did at the deadline over 2, 3, 4 years. The Soriano trades, the trades where you unloaded merchandise and got draft picks and talent in return. The Anthony Rizzo trade. I mean, it's a combination, a culmination of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Why the Padres aren't trying to get or aren't going to get Syndergaard or DeGrom would be incredibly disappointing. Why the Cubs wouldn't try to get Bryce or Scherzer? If I hear the Dodgers are calling about Bryce Harper, am I not picking up the phone if I'm the LA Dodgers and trying to get Scherzer? Am I not picking up the phone? I mean, pick the ball club that needs a pitcher. Every team needs a pitcher.
I mean, you can never have enough pitching, but again, that just says winning clubs make winning moves. And
it does.
Losing clubs make losing moves.
The Cubs are desperate for a legit arm, preferably from the right side.
Yeah, well, and that's been the biggest difference this year. You didn't lose one pitcher, you lost two. Because Yu Darvish has been nobody and Jake Arrieta is a Philly.
Yeah. And by the way, both those guys are right-handed. And I think Jake Arrieta is a huge loss for this team, not even on the bump, but in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But again, we don't need to have the discussion about right-handed versus left-handed. I get where you're at on that. I'm, you know, it is what it is. But you know, they've made their bed, so now they gotta make it a little more and bring in more talent. No manager is going. Andy Green's not winning a World Series with the roster they have right now. Like you can manage the hell out of a game and do the best you can, but at the end of the day, the players win. That's how it works in sports. Players win the game.
And I think as far as trading Bryce Harper, I think he works on maybe two or three teams: the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees. I mean, because you're going to give up significant assets for a rental player. And you need to... So if you are the Atlanta Braves, you're not trading young talent to get Bryce Harper for a stretcher.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's the same thing as the Machado deal. It's the exact same deal, dude.
It is. But you're only going to have to... I think Bryce Harper only has like $6 million left. So it's not like he's a huge financial impact right now when you make that deal.
Yeah.
But I think the Yankees, the Red Sox... What if it's Bryce Harper instead of JBJ in Boston? Jackie Bradley Jr. What if it's Bryce Harper instead of Jackie Bradley?
They're not the team they are.
Yeah, now we're cooking with gas.
No, I don't think you are, because really? Bryce Harper doesn't play the defense that Jackie Bradley does in center field.
But
it's true.
Is Bryce Harper motivated right now? Is he struggling with the motivational side of the
game? I'm sure he is, but look.
I agree.
Dude, but look, I mean, you can't sit here and say that, you know, they're going to be a better team with Bryce Harper after what he's done this year. I mean, I understand you're not motivated, and yeah. I've even advocated for that. I've said, there's a reason the guy's not running hard to first base. Would you? That's what I said about Manny. I agree with that about Bryce. Gary Sanchez, you have no excuse.
Yeah.
But, you know, to say that Jackie Bradley, or that the Red Sox would be a better team with Bryce, I mean,
they'd be
year,
a far more dangerous team with Bryce.
I mean, yeah, sure, you can say that, but I think Jackie Bradley flies way under the radar. The plays he makes in center field are ridiculous.
Well, and a lot of that is because he hasn't hit real well this year.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he's not Betts, he's not...
But again, you don't need him to do that.
No,
his role
that's
is
true.
To save runs for them.
Right, but that's my point. If you're the Boston Red Sox and all of a sudden you replace Jackie Bradley and he becomes your fourth outfielder with Bryce Harper, and Bryce hits you 12 home runs down the stretch and plays gold glove defense again, because he's got a hose.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the best outfielders.
I mean, yeah, if he turns it on, it's a great deal, but it's a big risk this year.
Yeah, so my point is, if you are one of the elite teams in baseball and you trade for Bryce Harper, I have to think that you're going to get tremendous value out of that.
It's a win-win either way. You can't lose.
Yeah, I
no one's going to blame you for doing it.
I do. Do you like Cole Hamels to the Cubs?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a good deal. I put a lot of emphasis on what he's been able to do in his career. I get that he's not 95 and big curveball Cole Hamels anymore, but he's still a good pitcher. He's still quality. He's better than Mike Montgomery, you know?
Yeah. As Drubal Cabrera to the Phillies.
It's okay. He can really hit, but I'm not a huge Drubal Cabrera fan. I mean, he's been a solid baseball player.
He's pretty damn good. He's had a great year for them. Eduardo Escobar to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's a Band-Aid at best. It's a Band-Aid deal. I mean, Jake Lamb is hurt with the left shoulder.
Contusion.
You know, like, whatever, dude. I get it. You're not. Jake Lamb went to the All-Star game and just hasn't been. Like, I've been a little let down by him.
He's had shoulder trouble the entire year. He had the AC joint sprain, and now he's got the shoulder bruise contusion.
So that's what I say. Like, they might be a better team without Jake Lamb at this point.
15 bombs, and he's hitting .274 with 63 RBIs on the Twins. So I'm going to say Escobar. I think that's a solid upgrade for them. You know, I mean, Lamb is okay defensively, and he hasn't really hit for them because of the injuries. I like a lot of the moves. I'm still waiting for another Manny Machado. I think the Machado move by the Dodgers is still the best move.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they needed to do that, though. That doesn't, Britain that of the doesn't Yankees is
pretty
top.
Good. Britain of the Yankees is pretty
that's
good.
That's a more influential deal, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, you got Zach Britton if you're the Yankees. I mean, you're the guy who says great pitching is going to be great hitting. Well, the Yankees are in great shape then.
And how many times do we see 4-3, 3-2 games in the eighth and ninth inning of the playoffs? Yeah. Well, and the Yankees really are taking the pressure off of their starters. There's no doubt. And Joe Maddon said something interesting today about Cole Hamels. All we're asking him to do is get me five innings in a quality start. You know, get me five innings, keep us in the game, and the bats are going to win for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that a lot. Real quick, sports tattoos. So, did you see this Chicago Bulls fan that got a crying Michael Jordan tattoo? And it's beautiful. It's a portrait.
Yeah.
It's a good tattoo. It's on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Is there a sports tattoo that you would get? You don't have any yet. You still have virgin skin.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have virgin skin. But I'm just curious, is there a sports tattoo that you would get?
It's a pretty quality tattoo. Like, that's a very quality. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's a portrait. It looks beautiful. Like it's a portrait of Michael Jordan crying from his speech.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. You know, man, I don't know. Not right off the top of my head. No.
Would you consider getting a Tim Lincecum 55 the number 55?
Maybe
because Timmy's like your favorite guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would consider it, but I don't know. There's just not a lot. I'm not like head over heels about sports tattoos. I mean, I think tattoos are cool and everything, but you know, I don't know. I'd really
Have you seen the tattoo of the LeBron, the D Wade lob to LeBron James?
The iconic alley-oop picture.
Yeah. That picture, somebody got that tattooed.
Beautiful.
That's one of the best tattoos I've ever seen. I mean, it's one of the best moments ever.
Oh, well, I mean, that was a great time for the NBA, you know, and I really hope that comes back. They need LeBron to be that guy.
Yeah, but DeMar's going to the Spurs, so are we transitioning now to ripping DeMar?
No, you are. I'm not.
Jake is a hardcore DeMar DeRozan guy. I have always defended Gordon Hayward as a better player. Well, now that Gordon doesn't have a fully functioning ankle, it's a little harder to do that. But DeMar DeRozan, I think, kind of showed out what he was in the playoffs last year. And so this whole thing goes down now, and DeMar has made it very clear, and Dwayne Casey made it very clear today, that they'll never talk to the general manager of the Raptors again. And they both feel betrayed. But DeMar supposedly sat down with Greg Popovich today before USA basketball practice and said, I am ready to lead this team to a championship. And my single question, and it's just one point, one question, is DeMar DeRozan a championship quality player who can lead a team to a title?
Not yet. I just don't think he's not LeBron, KD, Paul George. He's very close, but he's not in that cut. I think he's got to show me mentally that he can handle the biggest moments. I think with you know, you referenced what happened this year, and I think largely he disappeared mentally. He was still in the game. He still was taking his shots and stuff. Like, he was still attempting it, but I just don't think he wasn't, like, locked in. Like, man, this is my game. I'm going to take this thing over.
He didn't relish it.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't love the moment.
Yeah, he didn't bathe in it.
Yeah.
And you have to, in that situation, when it's Michael Jordan in Cleveland, the shot on Elo, you have to know that ball's going in when you're sitting on the bench and they're drawing up the play. A, you got to know that that's your shot. When LeBron James is running down the floor, he's not thinking about passing against Toronto.
No.
He's thinking about shooting. Michael, Kobe, Magic. Think of the most clutch players you want. You have to know before the play even starts that you're about to win the game, and it's going to be glorious. And I don't think that DeMar DeRozan's that guy. He doesn't strike me as that guy who just is like, I cannot wait to win this game for us.
I mean, I think he has that mentality about him, but in the moment is when he struggles. And I think if there was ever a time, and again, I'm not trying to be Homer here, but if you really think about it, if there was ever a time where a guy could change, this would be one of those times, right? Like, you're really motivated. You're in a great system with Pop.
All the best go to the West, you know.
It's true. It is true. I mean, the West is a better conference.
I'm not a DeMar guy, especially after what I saw last year. I just don't, you know, and I don't hate the guy's clearly talented. He's clearly talented. But they better find a mix. Him and Murray had better gel very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what the rest of that team will look like. I don't know how you replace Kawhi Leonard on that team. It's probably addition by subtraction, frankly, because a lot of people think that that team hated him.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that team's going to look like. If DeMar DeRozan...
I think it'll look like a Greg Pop team. I think they're going to play that kind of offense, and I think they're going to make DeMar the focal point of the offense.
Greg Popovich's offense means nothing with 3 seconds on the clock. And I think we get lost in the triangle. I think we get lost in, you know, Kobe's got to do this and Shaq's got to do that, when really the answer is Kobe throwing an alley-oop to Shaq to beat the Blazers.
Right, but I get that, and I agree with you on that. I think we do overcomplicate things sometimes, but Greg Popovich is arguably one of the best coaches this game's ever seen.
I agree.
I get tired of his candor and the way he does the interviews and all that garbage, but I do know that he can turn a Tony Parker into a Hall of Famer. He can turn guys into things. And so I think if DeMar was going to go somewhere, I think that's one of the best landing spots he could have gone.
I don't disagree. I don't think Greg Popovich is the guy that's going to shoot the shot. And my biggest question with DeMar is that mental thing. That's why I like Gordon so much, because Gordon's just going to keep on shooting. Donovan Mitchell. We had this conversation how many times this past year? The guy just has no conscience. Dame has no conscience. Kobe had no conscience. I think DeMar DeRozan has a conscience. And that's why I think that you have to have a second guy. You have to have 3 stars, in my opinion, anymore to win.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, but I get why you don't like him, or don't like him in the last moments of a game. I get it. But at the same time, again, I'm the optimist on the show, so I say that he has an opportunity to grow.
And you're right about that. Yes, he does. By the way, speaking of your guys, Kevin Durant, there's a big narrative right now that he's going to very shortly leave Golden State because he's bored. And he's ready to take on a new challenge.
Which would be what, going to L.A.?
The Knicks. The Bullets. The Wizards. Do you buy that? Because the Knicks are heavily courting.
I mean, I'm sure they are. I think every player wants to be play for a team like that, like a Knicks or a Lakers or a Celtics or a Bulls, like some of those iconic teams.
But why is this happening? Why is this CJ McCollum feud with KD happening, whether it's funny or not or whatever? Why is Kevin Durant's the guy that's turned into an a-hole? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's turned into a red ass. The guy's always on edge. He's always got some snark or some, you know, it feels like Kevin Durant's gone from a hero to a heel. You know, he's now Hollywood Hulk Hogan instead of just Hulk Hogan.
I mean, he's won a lot.
Well, he's won two.
In today's day, that's a lot.
Okay. So my point is,
it's not five, it's not six, but two is pretty good.
He's one behind LeBron, right?
And Steph.
Okay. Great. I'm more worried about LeBron because Steph's never going down as one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah, he is.
Here we go. Okay, wait.
He's already the best shooter of all time.
Steph Curry, I meant.
He's already the best shooter of all time.
I like Steph Curry. He can't do anything by himself. He is not a guy that you can say, here's the ball, win me a game.
So what he did against OKC?
No.
That's a one-off. That's not him going to win the game.
That's a one-off. He hasn't. He's consistently not done it. Am I wrong about that?
He did it this year. He came back and did it this year. We had this exact conversation before the postseason started.
Okay.
Hey, what's Steph going to be?
You think when he's done, he'll go down as a top five player?
He will be a Hall of Famer. He will be a top five point guard in this league.
I didn't say point guard. Kevin Durant will go down as one of the greatest players ever. Steph Curry will go down as one of the best shooters ever. Okay. He may go down as one of the best ball handlers ever. He will not
go down
as
one of
the best players ever.
Players ever.
Okay, great. Great. That's cool. Steve Kerr is one of the winningest players ever. You ever heard him compared to Kobe or Jordan? There's a big difference. You know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
You're
a hater with Steph. I understand what you're saying, but you don't like Steph. You don't like what he's about, just like you don't like Kyrie and what he's about.
What do you mean I don't like Steph?
You think he's soft. You think he doesn't show up when, in fact, he did show up.
I think Steph, in the biggest moments, and I think that if they don't get Durant, have they won three titles?
Yeah, I think they have.
Really?
Yeah, I do, because I think they're a different team when KD's not on the floor.
Well, I think the shots he's hit over LeBron in the finals, I think his rivalry with LeBron in the finals,
they did it without him. Like, they did.
Once.
Right.
But their toughest hill to climb, as the Western Conference has gotten better and the Rockets got better until Chris Paul's balls fell off on the floor. Well, it was his hamstring. Groin and hamstring are really close. Anyway, the point is, until Chris Paul got hurt, they weren't winning anything.
I mean, I really feel like that's candies and nuts, because at the end of the day, everyone's going to be adding players. Rockets added Chris Paul. The Warriors added KD, and then everybody disrespected Boogie, and so they added Boogie.
But it's funny, the Lakers didn't add Boogie.
But again, you think Boogie's going to be a cancer.
I think he's desperate now. Had he gone to the Lakers, Boogie Cousins would have been a cancer. Now that he's on a team that he is an also-ran, because Boogie's an also-ran on that team, he will have to fend for himself. He will be a second-chance opportunity guy. He had better offensively rebound the ball, because that's how he's going to score. Because there's only so many shots to go around. Steph, Clay, and KD all come first, right? I mean,
yeah.
But if he goes to the Lakers, he's going to demand the ball, and they're going to... It just didn't work. You know, it's just one of those things where I say to myself, why is Kevin Durant, why would you leave Golden State if you're Kevin Durant?
Because he did what he set out to do with Golden State. That's his mindset. And he wants to play for the Knicks or the Lakers. Why did LeBron go to the Lakers? Part of it is because it's the Lakers.
Well, and I think part of it is because of the Lakers. But I also think he was able to write his own ticket. I mean, it's not an accident that, you know, his agent's got two guys on that team. You know, Cantavius is a LeBron guy.
I think Durant's doing pretty much the same thing. I mean, the guy can go literally wherever he wants, and he can make it happen.
So if he goes to the Knicks...
I think he would need, like, Kyrie to go to the Knicks, too. He would need Jimmy Butler
to go
to
the Knicks,
too.
He's got a legit... guy in Porzingis, who's, by the way, coming off the knee injury, so we'll see what that looks like. But I don't know. I think you're... If you are Kevin Durant and you leave Golden State, you better go somewhere and you better win. Because he's taken so much heat. Rightly or wrongly, he's taken a lot of heat for going to Golden State. So if he goes to the Lakers...
But Golden State has worked out.
Well, you just said it's because of Steph, though. And this is the rub. Because I'm telling you, they only won those two rings because of Kevin Durant. As bad as he was in the Rockets series, he's never disappeared in the finals. I look at Kevin Durant, if he goes to New York and they don't ever win, his legacy is seriously fubar'd. Like, I mean, you only won because you went to Golden State and then you left Golden State and you didn't win anything. That's the narrative that would be. Well, he's a Hall of Famer and he's one of the best players ever. By the way, I think if he goes to New York, they're going to win. Because guys want to play with Kevin Durant.
They'll be in the finals.
Yeah, sure. Guys want to play with Kevin Durant. You know, I could see Kyrie going to New York to play with Kevin Durant. And I do think he leaves Golden State. Especially if they win another ring this year, I think he's going to leave. Which I'm not saying is a slam dunk. Because I still think the Lakers, this is not the Lakers' final finished product. It might not be before the season. It could be at the deadline. This is not the finished product. It's not. I cannot see that happening. And maybe that's just me. I don't know. By the way, speaking of guys, will somebody release a new shoe? Like, I'm trying my damnedest to buy a new basketball shoe to play in. And I can't find a shoe to buy. Like, there's no new Kobe. There's no new...
I mean, there is.
Yeah, but it's $200. And okay, it's a guard shoe. It's a guard shoe.
But you can't say there's no new Kobe. There is.
It's a guard shoe, though, right?
Right, so that means it doesn't work for you, but that doesn't mean there's not a new Kobe, right?
I don't know about this shoe. And I would actually try it. I would. But it looks like a race car driving shoe. Am I wrong about that?
I agree it does, but it's a Kobe. They're going for the... lightest as possible, all your supports in the footbed and the sole.
Yeah, and by the way, it's the, what is it, ADNXT?
Yeah.
Is the name of the shoe.
It's a beautiful shoe, in my opinion. I love it.
It is. I don't like the one that's the Laker colors. They need to bring that out in red and black.
Yeah, an all black, a red and black combo, blue would be nice.
The Kobe AD is...
It's just generic. It's not great.
It's like a team shoe.
Yeah.
Looks, you know, like...
That's the shoe you buy for your high school team.
Yeah. It's all right. I need the LeBron 16 to come out.
Why are you all hard over the LeBron 16?
One, it's always an Air Max. His shoes are almost always Air Max, which I really like for basketball. Air Max basketball shoes are... I mean, the cushioning is superior. You played in a LeBron, what, a 10 low? You know how good that shoe is.
It's also a lot clunkier than the Kobe's are. That was a big difference for me.
It is a huge difference. It's not a Quicks shoe.
No.
It definitely is not. But I need a new shoe. I need something killer to come out. I need wow factor in the shoe market. Because right now, in my search for a basketball shoe, there's not a lot out there. The new Harden, the Volume 2, decent shoe.
I don't love it. I'm not an Adidas guy. I just wouldn't buy it.
Yeah. Dame's shoe's all right.
It's okay, yeah. I would consider right. Dame's shoe, but yeah. I don't love it.
They released a new colorway of the Dame. It's called the Camp because it's reminiscent of his days at a basketball camp.
I really like KD's shoe. I think that's a beautiful shoe.
Well, the new one, it's all about the colorway. I mean, I'm struggling with, what was that, the Aqua or whatever the hell color that was. Like, that was a tough shoe for me to adopt because I'm a huge KD guy. Like, his shoes have been unbelievable. And right. I just, for my money anyway, I think that Kevin Durant at Nike has done exceptionally well. And this was a conversation we had the other day. Like, who's the next big shoe endorser? Because, sorry, man.
I think it's Giannis, probably.
In Milwaukee. That's a huge problem. You know, like that. There's not a great superstar ready to endorse a shoe. And I don't know.
Jason Tatum?
I don't know how you
think that's coming. He's a Kyrie guy.
Yeah. The KD-11 is just okay. I do you love the KD-11?
Not in that particular colorway. Again, black.
Do you like the black?
Yeah, I would do black.
Do you like the blue? I don't like it. This is the LeBron 15 problem. Like the Fruity Pebbles LeBron 15. Hated that shoe. Would never wear it. They bring out the 15 low in all white. I was thrilled. Size 15 was, I wear a size 15. It was never available. It was sold out immediately. So, like, that's why I'm saying I need a great shoe to come out. That's what I need. I need a great shoe to come out. Anyway, I'm frustrated today. Today's been one of those days. I don't know. I don't think I've been frustrated on the show. I changed real estate brokerages.
Yeah, see, now you just got to... You just picked up... You know what you just did? Mm-hmm. You know what you just did? You took a big-ass shovel, and you just started digging. So
why do you say that?
Now it's just time to dig the whole thing up and tell the story. Because, like, you know...
I changed brokerages today. I went... And I'm not even going to say what it is. From one to another. My previous broker was really pissed off. Like, he was upset. Made it like really personal, and I mean, just said I wasn't a good businessman and all this stuff just because I switched brokers. And I don't understand the rub. And I admit that I can be kind of an intimidating personality. I'm a big guy, you know, I'm almost 6'4". Like, I get it. This guy's upset because I did not personally call him and say, hey, I'm leaving. And what happened is I reevaluated my business, right? Like, we had been doing flips and stuff. I'm moving much more to a traditional retail model. And the brokerage I was with doesn't have, like, I'm joining a real estate team. They don't have a team that fits what I'm looking to do. So I went to a nameplate. I'm with a large firm now, a nationally known large firm. It costs me less money to be on that team, and it gives me everything I need. And I gave my old broker a chance to shop me around to teams in his brokerage, and one thing led to another, and the guy just freaking lost his mind because I did not call him. And frankly, the whole thing happened really fast. Like, I went into my new broker's office, and she was like, hey, let's do this right now. You got to do this and that.
So that happened quick, too.
Yeah, I did it, and my old broker called me literally less than 60 seconds after I hit the terminate button. Because you have to go on a website. The state, you know, real estate board has a website you have to go on. You say, hey, I'm leaving this broker. You hit terminate. He blew me up less than 60 seconds after I hit that button. So it immediately sent him a notification, clearly. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was going to send him an email saying, hey, here's what I've decided to do. But he beat me to it, and it just got all personal. It's like, God, good Lord. Like, we're not children. You know, this guy made it incredibly personal.
Right.
And it's like, it's business. And that really bothered me. I don't know. Maybe because it's so freaking hot. I have no idea. Right? I just have no idea. Real estate is a different game these days. But it's incredibly frustrating, man. You know, like, how much of this was my fault on a scale of 100? I would say probably 35-40%. I should have called him.
Yeah, I think from the perspective of, like, professional courtesy, like, what you should do, or
he was good to me. The guy had treated me well.
Yeah, I mean,
he mentored me. He treated me well.
Right.
I should have called him.
But I think it's the way you're phrasing that. So, like, it's not just that you should have called him. You should have called him when you should have called him before you went into the newer brokerage. Like, you should have called him before you were in that office. And just said, hey, dude,
here's where I'm at.
Here's what I'm thinking of doing. I just want to tell you because I owe that to you, you know.
But the things this guy said to me.
Oh, well, and I'm not disagreeing. He took it too far. Like, on the back half of all this, he took it way too far.
And I straight up said, you know, I said to the guy, On text, on email, I left him a voicemail, and I said, I'm sorry. I wish I had handled it differently. You've been very good to me. I appreciate everything you've done to me. I'm really sorry that I handled it this way. I should have handled it differently.
Right, a genuine apology.
And I thought that would end it.
But you know how it goes. Like, once someone's fired up, someone's fired up, you know.
But doesn't an apology stand for anything anymore?
Not in the moment.
Because this was different. This is not this guy just wanting to vent. This went...
No, it was a vendetta.
And I just don't get that.
But I think it does speak to, like, where we're at in the world. Like, we talk on this show all the time about, you know, Trump's America. Like, not that that's what this was, but, like, in context, you think about, hey, you know, in today's day and age when everything happens so quickly, like, everything's digital, we get all our updates, like, on the fly, and this is a prime example of that.
Man.
You know, it just, everything happens so quickly, so you really have to plot out, like, hey, if I'm going to hit terminate, I better know what could
happen. What's
going to
happen?
Like, what could happen? Like,
because truth be told, I had no idea what I lit a fuse when I hit terminate.
Yeah, I mean,
and I didn't
clearly,
even know
like,
that.
And you didn't know that and didn't have the presence of mind to really even think about that.
Yeah,
not that I would.
But how often do I change brokerages?
Right. It's not like something you practice, but I think at the end of the day, you have to, like, I feel like in today's world, nobody or very few people just take 2 seconds and just hit pause and are like, okay, I'm about to hit this button.
Oh, and I'm terrible about that.
What could happen? Because the lady's in your face like, hit the button.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, let's rock and roll. You're a great fit for us, and it seems like, and I said, yeah, and you're...
And it's funny, this just happened at my recruiting job. We just had a situation kind of like this where, you know, we were looking at taking on a new opportunity to fill a hiring need, and my boss got absolutely sold on how great this opportunity was, when it really wasn't that great of an opportunity. Yeah. And so I think things happen so quickly. I'm a huge fan of just saying, hey, I'm not going to do this right here. Give me 10 minutes and I'll come back to you and let you know what happened.
It's the right thing to do.
You know,
you're
because
exactly
it gives you that second to just be like, whoa.
What am I really doing here?
What does hitting terminate really do?
And then there's this situation with my mother-in-law.
Okay, now this is real talk right now.
Yeah, this is just, like, I've just had a week, man. I've had 6 months of just banging my face against the wall, I feel like. Anyway, so my mother-in-law is generally in good health. So she had a knee replacement. And it's just kind of thrown her for a loop the last 2 years because, one, she went through, I think it was 2 years, of a knee injury. Now, about 6 weeks ago, she had a knee replacement. And it's just doubled down on that whole thing. And it's sparked this conversation in our family about what, you know, taking care of, because she really is my mother in all intent and purposes.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating that I don't feel like, without being specific, I don't feel like the situation's being handled properly.
Well, and the tough part is you're not in a position to change it.
Yeah, I absolutely right.
It's, you personally, but everybody on our side of the table.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a leader in our family. And so we've all had this conversation, and I've told my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and, of course, my wife, hey, I don't think this is being handled correctly. And so this week, my mother-in-law winds up back in the hospital. And it turned out she had some other health-related issues as a result of this knee replacement. And there was some issues around her pain medication and the effect the medication, the opioids were having on her system, and so she winds up back in the hospital for a night, and then now she's checked herself into this 7-day, like, management program where she's staying in a hospital-like setting. It feels like an old folks' home for 7 days. And so my wife's been up in L.A., and it's been wearing on her, and it just makes me say again, why is this even an issue? Like, we have to take care of our elderly.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation shouldn't even have to be had.
Yeah,
I mean, it should just be...
For the record, I think she's 72, and she's spry and active and healthy.
She's not old.
Yeah, she's not incapacitated. She doesn't need to... once this knee thing's over, she's not going to need 24-hour care on any level. I mean, she's completely healthy. She does hula dancing. She does, like, all this stuff. Yeah. But the point is, there was a plan in place if this were to ever happen. And that plan has not been followed. And it's
the better word is it's failed. The plan has failed
because sure. The infrastructure that was outlined did not happen in our family.
Yeah.
And it's just caused
because priorities were put in other places.
Correct. And my wife winds up going up to LA, taking 2 days off of work. And it's like, what, are we just supposed to put our lives on hold? Okay, well, let's move back to LA then. I love Huntington Beach, but I'm not going to keep doing this thing where my wife goes and stays at my mother-in-law's for a week and 10 days at a time. Like, I'm living my life, man. Like, I got stuff going on, and it just is like, I want to pull my hair out.
Yeah.
And my wife and I had this conversation today about taking care of the older people in our lives. And we just don't do a very good job of that in this country. And my mother-in-law, by the way, is very well-to-do. My father-in-law passed away, but left her well off. So money is not an issue. Her health care is not an issue. I just feel like we, as her children, have let her down. And for no reason. But why do we not value old people in this country? Because, you know, when we were flipping houses in Arizona, we saw this all the time. Every old lady house we flipped in Arizona, there was an old lady in that house alone.
Because old folks are viewed as opportunities, not commodities. At the end of the day, that's what it is.
Or resources. They should be viewed, like my mother-in-law is a sharp woman. You know, and it's just like, the stories I could tell you. I mean, what happens in our house stays in our house. But it's incredibly frustrating because there's just no reason for it.
So at the end of the day, you're going to have to do something about it.
And I'm encouraging my wife to take a leadership role. My wife is the youngest child. And the two older ones are just not...
They're not competent enough. They don't make the right
competence
decision.
A strong word.
I think it's a very justified word in this sense. No. You're not. They're competent in life. That's great. You've built your life. That's not the discussion we're having. We're having the discussion of can you take care of old folks? Can you take care of the ones that have done for you and return that favor?
Yeah, and everybody's got life happening.
It doesn't matter.
And I think competence is the wrong word. I would like to see priorities rearranged.
But it should never get there. That's what I'm saying.
Right. I don't disagree with you.
We shouldn't be talking about priorities being rearranged. And who are we kidding here? This woman and most elderly folk have done more hard work in their lives than we're going to have to do because of what they did.
She has provided amazingly well.
So the idea that we're talking about priorities is absolutely ridiculous. Like, it is ridiculous, and I know it's a strong stance, and I know it's tough, and it's hardcore, but, like, that's what the discussion is.
We're very fortunate that our family is very good. There's not a lot of division in our family. On my wife's side, like, my family's a freaking grenade, let's be honest about it. But on the in-law side of my family, everybody's talking and communicating, and I just wish, competence not the right word. I wish the priorities would be realigned and that my mother-in-law would be the number one. And we're trying to make that happen. But you can't just roll over it with a bulldozer and think that that's going to fix it. This is very much
you've got to massage
process.
The situation.
Yes, yes.
You have to take a leadership role. You have to be a decision maker, a person of influence in the situation. Even when the person who needs the help doesn't think what you're doing is best for her. You have to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
By the way, I hope I never have to take an opioid in my life because, I mean, that is some gnar stuff. And this is why I try to be healthy. I eat like an idiot most of the time. But what are we going to have for dinner, by the way? It's 8:03.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we going to Grubhub something? Because we got a lot of Fortnite to play tonight.
Right.
And then we got to go... get some free trees. The power company here is giving away free trees. So we got to get up early and do that. And then I got to go play basketball because I'm fat.
Okay.
So I feel better. What are we going to, are we going to Grubhub something for dinner tonight? What are you thinking?
I have no idea. Okay. At this point, I'm going on, what, 12 hours now? 14 okay. hours, actually.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
By the way, the Cubs just lost again. It's going to be a great weekend.
I know, I can tell.
Find us on the iHeartRadio app, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. That's where you find us on Twitter as well, The Monty Show. And you can find us, by the way, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, whatever. Anyway, say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.